It's going to be okay. I know last night was a tough one for Kings fans, but Jerry Reynolds came on, and I was going to say Jerry made us all feel better, but truth be told, Jay, it's Jay and Whitey today.
I feel better.
Yeah, I feel better, but Jerry wasn't feeling that great either.
No, he was very downtrodden.
Yeah, and he's scared about the Lakers tomorrow night. He doesn't like to lose to the Lakers.
No.
Opportunity, though, once again. Oh, you win. Great win. Oh, bad loss. Now opportunity to right the ship. And a huge game tomorrow night, the way the Lakers are breathing down the Kings' necks. And I know most people, if you care, you're aware of this, but just real quick, right down the West, with that loss, here's where we are for the Kings in the West. It goes Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Denver, the Clippers. Then fifth seed, the Pelicans, 36-25. Phoenix, 35-26. They now slide back into sixth. But their schedule is absolutely brutal. Brutal doesn't do justice to how tough schedule is. Then you got the Kings at 34-26. So the Kings right now, seventh. They're a half game out of sixth. They're a game and a half out of fifth. Right behind the Kings is the Mavericks. They're half a game out. I think they play tonight. The Lakers are a game and a half behind the Kings. Lakers ninth, and then the Warriors two back of the Kings. So everything's in play here. I mean, realistically, probably not the top four spots for the Kings, but anything else, five, more likely six, but really 5 through 10 is in play for them.
Yeah, you know, and to answer your question, the Mavs take on the Pacers tonight. They tip off here in about 30 minutes. But, you know, the other interesting thing for me, too, is I know we've got the Lakers tomorrow, but we play the Lakers the fifth game, so we play them twice out of the next five. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, these are big-time games. Mm-hmm. Big-time games because, as what Jerry said, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think the Lakers and the Warriors and the teams kind of like what we saw last year, you know, where we kept hearing, especially in the national media, which the Kings proved them wrong, and I hope they do again this year. But a lot of people we kept hearing – teams have their eye on the Kings. They're circling the Kings. You know, we heard, I believe it was Ramona Shelburne, speaking of Ramona, who said it a couple times, like the in the know down in Los Angeles, they have their sights set on the Sacramento Kings and finishing sixth or finishing, you know, parallel to where they would be playing in the first round. And we saw the Warriors do so, and we saw what happened. And so, you know, unfortunately, it's Savage Kingdom out here, man. To quote a Nat Geo documentary right now that I'm watching, it's real, man. It's the circle of life. And, you know, if the Kings don't try to take care of business within the next couple of games when they take the Lakers, you know, they could be losing the season series, and that's something you don't want to do.
No. And you can't afford to lose many games here the rest of the way.
That's everybody, Whitey.
Yeah,
that's everybody.
But they are pretty solidly in the play-in. For what that's worth. But seventh or eighth, you get two shots of getting out of it. If you're ninth or tenth, you got to win two games to get out of it. So, and it's all just so volatile right now. The whole thing, like even the top four, it changes so much every day. You just have to, the Kings have to start playing better. And that's what's discouraging about the loss last night, just when it looked like maybe they're again. As Drape said last night, every time you think they're starting to turn a corner, and then, hey, what was that? But there are still reasons to be optimistic, Jay, and I've come up with my third reason to be optimistic.
Okay.
Ready?
Let's hear one and two first.
Yeah. Three reasons Kings fans can still be optimistic.
Is this Whitey's wisdoms?
No.
Okay.
No. Had that ready to go yesterday, but we had guests on and we didn't get to it.
No problem. It's okay.
Yeah, and it turns out, I don't know if any of my wishes came true anyway. Yeah, it was, you know, it was a rough one. We've got the home games piling up for the Kings. I think that's big, even though they've struggled at home. They've got home game. They're going to be home. They're not going to be.
Disagree.
Huh?
I'm going to disagree.
They're not going out on the road and then coming home to play somebody, which, as I said earlier, that they've struggled in those scenarios. You're going to be home now. I wish I had the numbers here. You probably know it's a ton of games in March where they're home. A ton of games.
Well, they have 14 of 22, right, at home left in the season.
Look at that.
Yeah.
See?
But I'm like,
that's two-thirds of your games are at home.
But let me say this, Whitey. As we talked about Coach Brown in post-game last night, kind of, you know, holding back some of his words. As I look across the glass, I kind of get that same feeling from you. It's like you're kind of willing them to want to play at home compared to be on the road of 14 of the last 22. Is that some? Are you believing this, or are you just looking at the paper and trying to be a good Kings fan?
I don't even need the paper.
Okay.
Well, maybe I do. yeah, they have a lot of home games, 14 to 22, and I know they haven't been great at home, but it's different when you're home for a long time. I think that makes a difference.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they've been on the road a lot. And a lot of these games I mentioned earlier, the loss to Charlotte, first home game after a three-game trip. The loss to Indiana was the first home game after a five-game trip. The loss to Detroit was the first home game back after a seven-game trip. The Miami loss was the first home game back after a one-game trip. And the Chicago game was first game back after a two-game trip. So a lot of these losses, it's been that old saying, like, first home game after road trips, like another road game. The Kings have had to deal with that. And now on this stretch, 14-22 at home, you don't have to worry about that. This is where they really start to take advantage of home court.
All right. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two.
Reason number two is...
I was going to put some music behind you, but I don't think you believe some of these things that you're saying. You're not convincing
yet. What's the song about the truth and what is the absolute? I don't need any music.
Okay.
I think this is music to King's ears as it is.
I like it.
They made free throws last night. That's remarkable. They made 18 of 20 free throws. The Kings, as much as we've bemoaned the fact that they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, it's like, as Monica McNutt says, if missing free throws is like leaving money in the street, the Kings have been like Jesse Pinkman at the end of Breaking Bad, where he's driving down the street and he's just throwing the bales of money out, you know, the blood money. He's just throwing it out the car. That's what the Kings have been like. But last night they made 18 of 20, and we know they're capable of doing that. And they did it last. Now they didn't win the game, I know. But another reason to be optimistic. And then thirdly, I think even you, Jay, will agree with me on this one.
All right.
And I know you're not really down with these, but the Kings are still most likely here at 34-26. They're almost certainly going to win 40-something games.
Yes.
I don't know where that gets them, but 40-something games. Before last year, they had not done that since 2006. So that is something we have to keep in mind as well.
It's been
a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, last year kind of spoiled us a little bit, but it's been a while since they'd won.
Shouldn't have.
40-something games.
I think that's part of the frustrations of fans. It shouldn't have.
And maybe that's why expectations are so high.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you shouldn't be spoiled from one season, especially when you've gone through a whole quinceañera worth of years where you haven't made the playoffs.
I don't
playoffs.
Even know what that means.
Well, you don't know what a quinceañera is. It's basically like we celebrate Sweet 16 here, you know, United States, Spanish heritage, and I don't want to, you know, mess this completely up, so please correct me if I'm wrong,
like,
but
15,
yes.
Oh, okay.
They celebrate 15.
Yeah.
And I don't know the importance of it, but please call in Texas, let me know exactly, but it's 15 years, absolutely. So
okay, there's that commercial where that woman goes to the, is it Golden One? She gets all the money to pay for her daughters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, with the blue dress
yes.
and the magic
yes,
cake.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay,
exactly.
Thank you.
Come on now, right. Look, we, as Drape say, we are the people. We are the people. Not I'm among the people. I am the people. You know, I'm part of Sacramento culture. I am part of the city of trees. But, you know, the frustration stems from the fact of, you know, and we've kind of talked about words, right? Can you describe this team in one word? We've heard complacent, inconsistent, you know, those type of lackadaisical, you know, somebody put roller coaster, which is two, but I put the Incredicoaster on here.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And however you want to describe it, you know, the point of it is this team shouldn't feel any type of form or fashion like, you know, we've accomplished anything yet.
Right.
Because they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a great run last year. Fantastic. You know, seven games against the Golden State Warriors, who were the former champs, the defending champs as of last year prior to the Nuggets. But if we're carrying that over to now, that's a problem.
Well, you just raised something that to me is really an interesting point when it comes to Kings fans and where we are. And that is that, yeah, last year, wow, light the beam. And then this year, a lot of Kings fans are dissatisfied. And some have said, expectations are out of whack. But I think that stems from what you said. Kings fans remember all that time. They don't just feel like, oh, thank you for finally being good. They feel like, hey, we supported this team for a long time.
Absolutely.
We deserve better. And what you gave us last year, we deserve that again.
Agreed. But the thing about that, Whitey, is you're kind of getting that. It's just in a different package.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're probably going to have more wins this year. You know, who knows what they do in the postseason. But it's just been packaged differently. It's not the magical run. Mm-hmm. And albeit, we all know the first impression means a lot more than the second, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though the second impression probably sustains what is closer to the original, you know, to the reality, I should say. And so I just think that, you know, and like I look at the I look at the text line, from the 916. I would not let Kobe White score 37 on me, and I'm 52 years old. I'm 5'8", but I have a heart that probably weighs more than any Kings players. Kobe White would have felt my physicality.
Did you see what he did to HB on that drive and then just
bye.
Down.
The same thing you've seen on the last drive, the go-ahead bucket. And again, I probably should go back. He pushed someone off on the perimeter and went directly straight at Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, get off me.
Yep.
And I'm going to put the push shot up. And like I said, at that point in time, the referees were just, the officials were allowing them to play. Mm-hmm. And so that's when you got to get big boys. So I understand,
that the great Jerry Reynolds tell us,
yeah,
it's harder to get shots. You got to be more physical in the fourth quarter.
Come on now, man, especially when you know them whistles will be put in the pocket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just, when you have fans like that and all the, all the fans and listeners and callers that we've had over the last couple of days prior, especially prior to the Minnesota win, it's tough. I have a hard time, Whitey, understanding if that is true, that the team itself is, still trying to ride this magical carpet ride. That's not it.
Yeah. There's one thing that, some people are saying that Kings fans' expectations are too high. People who say that, there's one thing they keep saying and keep saying, and they keep banging on this drum. And after last night, I'm not here for that. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. Mm. I'll tell you what that is when we come right back. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Great question here in the chat from
Lakers. We got to get going. I felt like we made a big stride against Minnesota that game. We came out here for three quarters. We played really good basketball, and we let the fourth quarter slide. So we just can't let those moments slide and have a team come back and take an easy win from us.
That was Domas. Apparently he was at the library, right? And I apologize, Domas. I apologize, Jay, for stepping on you.
Man, come on. You're running this, brother.
Domas after the game, last night. Oh, and that's, I understand it, but I'm just tired of hearing that same thing. We got to be better. Oh, boy, we keep doing this, and we have to play harder. Ah, somebody say something. Or better yet, somebody do something. I was going to mention here, Compio on the chat with the chat comment of the day. This really is a great idea. Compio asks, does the Kings organization have an annual Jerry Reynolds Award? And I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
Who could have that is if there's a body of Kings media, and I don't know if there is formally a body, like the Kings player that is the best interview. I could see him getting like the Jerry Reynolds Award. Like the guy that the media enjoys talking to the most.
But
I don't know. That's a great idea.
Like post-game or throughout the whole season?
Yeah. Yeah. You might as well give it to Malik like every – Malik could win it every year as long as he's here. But Compio, you may or may not care about this. You may or may not know, but there is – the media entrance at the Golden One is named for Jerry Reynolds.
That it is.
And if you ever go in that way
– which is right next to the team store.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, right next to the team store. And there's big pictures of Jerry, like when he coached, and there's one where he's riding everybody's shoulders after a game they won. And it's funny because I was asking him, I said, you didn't win that many. You must have known exactly what game it was. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what game that was. So, yeah, it's really great, the Jerry Reynolds media entrance there at the Golden One. Here's the thing that a lot of people are saying that I think I'm hearing this from people that are trying to push back against this dissatisfaction that some Kings fans have this year.
Okay.
I think there are those that are saying, fans don't understand how this goes. It's not always linear, which is true. And expectations are out of whack, which You know, fans are entitled to their expectations, especially a long-suffering fan base like this one. But one of the things you hear a lot, Jay, is you could argue that the Kings are as good as they are last year. And to me, it's like, no, you can't. No. Now, we don't know how this is going to end up. Maybe this team goes on and ends up in the conference finals, in which case you could say, yeah, they're better. But this whole thing about how, you know, the record is similar. Drace was just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one that says this, so yep. I'm not coming after him. But well, the record's similar, and there's better teams in the conference, therefore they're better this year. They're not better this year. Last year,
they're definitely not better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year they were third. And as far as, you know, that's what matters is how good you are relative to the other teams. Not, well, they're better this year, but in the standings they're not as good. Then they're not as good. Because it's about competing year in, year out. Last year, the Kings had an identity. They made shots. They were sensational. They almost beat the Warriors. They almost beat the defending world champs, right, in the first round. They did. This year's team, we'll see. We don't know where it's going. But right now, to say this team right now, this team we saw last night is better than last year's team, that's ridiculous. Is it not? I mean, that's just no.
Yeah, I agree. But does that – I guess the difference for me is it because I agree with you. Is it because the expectations are different?
It's just this team has not been. This team is weaker. They're a weaker team.
A weaker version.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were third last year. Third.
Yeah. That's big time.
That's phenomenal as well. But the wins, blah blah. It doesn't matter because it's relative year to year. Third is better than eighth. And again, I know the door is still open for them to accomplish some things this year. I recognize that. I hope they can. But to this point, if you want to squint and try to, you know, rearrange the numbers and, oh, see, they're actually better this year. No, they're not. And you know that. People who say that, you know they're not.
Whitey, I like the fact that you're coming over to Jay's side. I think it's finally happening, the transition. I know you got your purple colored glasses on. I know you're a half glass full guy, Mr. Positive. I'm not saying it's negative on my side. I'm just saying we have to come to fruition, like reality.
Yeah, yeah.
This team is flawed.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm of the opinion that true, honest criticism of something or someone can actually be a very honest and useful form of support.
Yes.
You know, if it's sincere, if you're trying to tear someone or something down, there's nothing beneficial.
You know,
but if
what
you're trying
to
point out mistakes so that we can all improve, that's good. That's positive.
You know what we call that where I come from? It's not hating if you're telling the truth. That's what you're saying.
All right.
That's basically what you're saying, man.
Okay.
Like, and that's part of it. It's, you know, how many times have we, and it just popped in my mind, John Morant, and I hate to do that, but how many times when you have too many yes men around you, things kind of go awry, right?
Sure.
And you need that dose of reality, that truthfulness, that person that's there, that conscience, so to say. And I think that's where, you know, we are starting to kind of enter that realm for Sacramento Kings fans. I believe, you know, there are some fans like myself who will probably come to grips with the understanding that this team is not just what you said. It's not as good as this team was last year, and have to understand they might not be able to do and accomplish the things that you know, mm-hmm. most people, most fans, most mm-hmm. people of the King's Kingdom want them to do. Mm-hmm. And you have to take it for, you know, what's in front of you for face value.
I think also if someone was to say, you know, this year they're as good as they were last year, that also in a way is disrespectful to last year's team. Last year's team was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
You know?
I know.
Yeah. I said before the season started that this year's team, they would be better. Their record might not be as good, but they'll be a better team. Right now, it doesn't look like it's trending that way. I also said, you know this, Jay, I said if they get to the playoffs this year, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of people have disagreed and still disagree with that. But right now, I'm feeling pretty good about that call.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if they can accomplish that and, you know, hopefully they don't get smoked and get blown out and get swept.
Right.
You know, you win a couple of games and maybe you do move on. But I think if you can get to that full first round, four game, you know, best out of seven playoff, then yeah, I'm with you.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Steve joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
I guess the biggest thing that's on my mind, it seems like they've regressed in terms of just the culture and identity of the team in this past year. And a lot of that I lay at the feet of a guy like Harrison Barnes. I mean, if you really look at the team, Fox, Sabonis, and Malik Monk are probably the only three guys on that team that come out night after night after night and give their energy in what I would consider to be a consistent way. You know what you're going to get night to night. Harrison Barnes is a vet, for goodness sakes, and it just seems at times he completely disappears. And you just, if you're trying to set a tone, especially with culture in a group, you've got to have your vets leading by example and then holding other people accountable. And that just seems to be a big, you know, hole that I'm seeing this year compared to last year. I'm disappointed they didn't get Harrison out of there. I would have taken somebody with maybe even lesser numbers that brought a more dog nature to the team, because they need to be dogs out there, and they're just mentally weak. You just can't get up by a team by 22 points and not step on their throats. And you're right, they just can't say it game after game. Oh, we got to do better. We can't let this happen. Well, what are you going to do to change it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you're going to do to make sure that doesn't happen again. Just don't say you're not going to do it. Otherwise, if you're not going to change anything, you're going to get the same results. And I think as a fan, I'm frustrated with that. Now, I'm not close enough to the team to know if they're taking extra shots after games, before games, if they're putting in the gym time.
Oh, absolutely they are,
to.
Steve. Mm-hmm.
Well, then they're not doing it in an efficient use of their time. You work smarter, not harder, because the results right now are telling me, as you know, a casual fan that just sees them, that they're just mailing it in some nights, and they're just not working as hard as they need to hard. They're working as hard as they need to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it. You can see with Malik Monk, he's a guy that brings his lunch pail every single night. He will give you that energy. So does Sabonis and so does Fox. And unless and until everybody on the team gives that same amount of energy every night, we're just going to see more of the same, which are disappointing losses that are unexpected.
Thank you, Steve. It's hard to argue with you when the players themselves have said repeatedly, We just have to bring more energy. We can control that. As far as HB goes, and I know Jay is not the biggest – he wasn't the biggest fan of bringing HB back.
No.
In all fairness.
Yeah.
You know, I know I tease, you know, but that's fair. I mean, you said that, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think HB does a lot of things and has done a lot of things that have not been fully appreciated by Kings fans. But you look right now and his numbers, even he's had a recent surge and he's had some big games. I think his numbers are like just about the lowest they've been since very early in his career. He's not producing consistently. And, he's a good example of, I think, what the problem was with the Kings, bottom line, and that is they had the roster. They decided to stick with the roster. They didn't make any changes. You have basically the same roster other than some players, some bench players, periphery players, same roster you had at the beginning of last year. I know I made this point earlier, but I think, Steve, to me, it's a matter of look at everyone else in the league and some of the teams the Kings are chasing. How different do they look from last year? And the Kings are pretty much the same bunch. And every time it's come time where they could make a decision on adding, they've decided it's not worth it right now. We're better off not bringing in that other piece for what it's going to cost us. So this offseason, I think Jay said earlier, this offseason, assuming the Kings end up, you know, about where they were last year, you know, unless they go on a run, the pressure is really going to be on, or at least the expectations are going to be large for the Kings to really improve the roster this offseason.
Absolutely. And let me say this, as Kings fans, as you sit here and listen to that, you are, you know, you deserve that right. You deserve that right to have expectations. And I want to make sure that that's clear. We, you know, at least me and I, Whitey, please correct me if I'm wrong. We're not stating here. And I don't think we ever have. It's like, look, you shouldn't expect, you know, quality. And so,
especially the people that that pay a lot of money.
Ooh, come on now. And
go to a lot of games.
Yes. And I mean, it looks like they, you know, as most organizations do, and we're living in a time where everything seems to be just more expensive, and not seems, but it is more expensive. It sounds like the Kings have went up on their tickets again, you know, for next year, because I've seen a few whispers and a few screams and a few cries and a few, you know, tidbits over social network who've talked about it, especially after an agonizing loss like last night. But I mean, you as Kings fans, you guys deserve, especially going through the 16 years of no playoffs, no runs, no postseason, you know, heartbreak, always looking forward to drafts, you know, the draft picks and hoping, wishing and praying that these guys will pan out. You definitely deserve expectations. And so it's, for me, Whitey, it's refreshing to hear people like Steve and John and the TCs, and shouts out to Ramsey, one of our smartest callers, who just sent in something on the Kinsietta for me. You know, like, it's refreshing to have these expectations with the understanding that, look, sometimes we need to understand it may not accomplish, you know, the expectations might not live up to what we want when it's all said and done.
Yeah. And again, while keeping in mind that with Ken Sieta, that's how many games the Kings used to win every year, you know? So
15.
Yeah, keeping that in mind as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll take another peek at the Kings' interesting reliance on the three ball when we return. When you're a fan and your team is struggling like the Kings did last night, it's also important to keep in mind the things that you should be grateful for, like the tremendous announcer the Kings have. Gary Gerald on Facebook, boarding the plane today. G-Man says, Kings LA bound, 10th straight game with travel. Still trying to shake the bitter aftertaste of last night's woeful loss. You know, he loves the Kings. And the passion obviously shows with every game he broadcasts. But the key there is 10th straight game with travel. So when we look ahead to the Kings and all these home games, it's not just, oh, they... big deal. They lose home games. They're going to have so many home games in a row where they'll be set for a while. And what'd you say, Jay? 14 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be traveling nearly as much as they have been. 10 straight games with travel. Not making excuses, but it's just a fact that they have been flying all over the place lately.
That means a lot of more chocolate chip cookies for Whitey and a lot more oatmeal raisins
right.
for Draper. And
that's,
I mean,
right.
You know, as much as those cookies make you guys feel, I'm hoping some home cooking will assist the Kings in, you know, making some of the Kings fans temper their frustrations and make them feel better. Because today, man, and, you know, last week, there was a time or two last week, you know, we felt like we were on the ledge and looking down, and then Minnesota happened, and, you know, it was over the weekend, so we didn't get an opportunity to speak on it until Monday, where, you know, we were already ready for another game against the Bulls. And you know, Whitey, it's just so interesting, man, because all day we've been talking about the Kings and, you know, the horrible loss that happened last night. And I can't even explain it when you start to look down, like, some of our text thread and some of the calls. And
Compu, by the way, says, JJ, you're starting to change Whitey. He thinks you're...
Maybe. Or maybe just the Kings play is starting to change Whitey. Like, I don't think I have too much influence over it. I think Whitey, you're coming to grips like, you know what? But you've already said this numerous times. This is a play-in team, not a playoff team.
I have said that. We'll see. But I'm on record as saying that.
And you still feel that way.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Isn't it remarkable, though, if you try to take your own emotions out of it, which is really hard, and you just look at this team, it's absolutely stunning how up and down they've been.
Yes.
Yesterday, as I mentioned, you know, pregame, I'm sitting there and we're eating with Frankie and Brennan and Alan Stiles, and, you know, JD's in there and Sean Cunningham. And I think it was Frankie saying, boy, that Miami game, as soon as it was announced that Miami was going to be short some players, people on Twitter right away, they were saying the Kings are going to lose. And they did.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Frankie was saying. And then it's remarkable. Mm. It happens again last night when it appeared, you know, the Kings are up 22. It's like, well, it can't happen now. And I remember at one point looking up, you know, and then here come the Bulls. I looked up, it's like, uh-oh, it's 7. When it was 7, I just felt like, well, we got a game
here
now.
They come.
But it's just incredible that it continues to happen. Magnificent win. Just kick in the Sabonis of a loss. And then that's okay. We're winning at Minnesota. And then blowing a 22-point lead at home. It's incredible. Isn't it?
It is.
It's hard to believe it's actually happening.
It is. Where was that kid? What region was that?
I got to give Chris Watkins credit for that. After Domas got kicked, mm-hmm. Wasn't that Minnesota game? He said, yep, right in the Sabonis.
Yeah. Why? Let me ask you this real quick. Someone on here, and I mean, I think I know your answer, but someone from the 916, annoyed that MB, that would be Coach Brown, Mike Brown, seemed to try and put some blame on Chris Duarte during the post game for the tech last night. No accountability on his part. And I think
he did what, say, well, he said, right? He said, yeah, then we got an unnecessary tech. And yeah.
Well, I think your response to that is Mike Brown is kind of tippy toed around certain things, you know, some things that he wants to say. But did you see anything into that? Did you feel that, or did you kind of?
Not when I first heard it. Okay. I understand the point. I think basically it's a pretty valid point. You know, his point was, if I remember correctly, Mike Brown was saying that's how quickly it can turn in our league, which we know.
If you're Ebbs a Kings and flows. Fan, right.
Like, no kidding. I've watched some games this year, coach. Yeah. And he was just saying things are going our way. Then you get an unnecessary tech, which is true. And then the next thing you know, hey, we're losing. So I understand the point, but I didn't have an issue with it.
Right now, your expectations for tomorrow? Or do you need to sleep on it, connect one more time for the night, put your wires on?
I mean, I wish I was more optimistic about tomorrow.
But isn't it? But and I'm, so, I'm, as I'm much not, as that happens, that's when the Kings go get a win.
That's why I would not have said that if you hadn't asked me. I'm just being honest with you. Do you remember last week, Friday, you asked me, no, I think it was Thursday we were on, and you asked me, what about the Minnesota game? Mm-hmm. What are the chances of them winning? And I said, 40%. And you're like, and I said, well, I'm just leaving room for that fact that sometimes
you need.
We don't know.
Yep, you
then
need.
The next day we're on with Trapes, and he says, yeah, De'Aaron's not playing. We said, well, then they have no chance.
It's more like 10%.
Yeah, no, they're not going to win if he doesn't play. And then they win. Yeah.
All right, so maybe I should be asking you the Spurs game, because that's the trap game.
I don't know.
The trap game is a Spurs game.
The Spurs looked awfully comfortable here, and I know the Kings
they pushed
beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Devin Vassell was like, he looked like Kobe White last night.
Right, he did.
How many guys have come in here? It's like, you can almost, like, they're almost playing the same way against the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. So, no expectations, I guess no high expectations for tomorrow as much as Jerry.
If I'm being honest, yeah. But I don't want to say that, and it would be a tremendous win. What do you think?
It would, yeah.
Is there any realistic way you can look at that, reasonable way, and say, oh, I think the Kings will win?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of the pattern that they've exemplified over the last, you know, 2 or 3 months. I'm actually excited for them to go into Los Angeles and play the Lakers tomorrow. I think they have a great opportunity. I think they match up well against the Lakers.
It's tremendous because anybody who's been around a while, you and I have – and you remember what the rivalry was, and I think we're going to get a little bit of that tomorrow. Just a little bit. Nothing like, you know, Kobe and Shaq and all that, but yeah, because that's going to be a big-time game tomorrow.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, too, before you go to the caller, is this. We saw the Kings play in Los Angeles a week and a half ago or so when they played the Clippers, and it was a big deal because they got the win, and everybody was talking about lighting the beam, the chants, you know, you could hear it when the G-man was giving his call. Do we see that tomorrow in Lakerland?
That would be one of the great moments in Sacramento Kings history. Mm. If we had light the beam chance, and I'm hesitating because has it happened and I missed it, but if you had really loud light the beam chance.
I feel like it did.
Yeah, probably did.
Maybe last year. Yeah, but
in a big, big game that had playoff implications, light the beam chance in Los Angeles. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Greg's been hanging on. Hey, Greg, what's on your mind? Thanks for hanging.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you, and I've been appreciating everything you guys have had to say. My two cents is I just think we have to have faith in Monty McNair. He's done some amazing things in 3 or 4 years, and I still just marvel at Sabonis and Tyrese Halliburton picking up Murray. You just look at what he's done. I'm glad he didn't make a trade. This isn't the year. Your comment about a play-in, not a playoff team, there's probably some truth to that, but it's a simple deal. We're playing to the competition, and it's something they can fix. I think where we're at right now, our expectations are a bigger problem than anything. The free throws are just unacceptable. But a lot of this, I feel like we have a month to fix. And I just wanted to ask you, who would you have traded if you had a dream trade realistically? What would it have been and what would you have given up?
Thanks for the call. First of all, I want to clarify. I said this is a play-in team. I never said they're not a playoff team. Big difference. You can go from the play-in to the playoff. So just to be clear, I said play-in, but I didn't say they're not a playoff team. So we're clear. I really liked Jeremy Grant. I would have gone – I liked OG Anunoby and the Siakam deal, but if Siakam didn't want to come here, I understand it. I don't know, you know, what they did. I want to say I would have made a stronger push for Jeremy Grant. We don't know if they did or not. I liked him. I liked his fit. I didn't like the Kuzma thing. Didn't like the Zach LaVine thing. There's a Cam Johnson was the guy in the offseason that I really liked, but he ended up re-signing with Brooklyn. So I would have tried to get and at the deadline, I wanted a wing and a big guard, backup guard. That's what I think they needed, a really good, versatile wing defender, 3-and-D guy, and a guard. That's what I would have been after, but I think you make a great point about Monty. I'm not sure that guy was there, and if you start saying – we want Siakam. Okay, we can't get him. Well, what's next? Kyle Kuzma? I give Monty credit for having discipline to say, we like that guy because he could help us. We don't like that guy, so we're not going to get him just because we need to get somebody. Big picture, we'll see where it goes. But if that's the strategy and they end up doing something this year in the offseason, I'm down with that. All right. Jeff on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for hanging. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing, Monty?
Good.
But thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm looking back at this year, and I hate to say that the only player on this team that's done better than last year has been Sabonis. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fox hasn't played the way he played last year. He had a motivation. He wanted to be the clutch player. Has Fox played up to the standard what he set last year? No.
I agree.
I mean, last
yeah.
night was an example.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Yeah,
they've lost more games this year because he didn't take over in the fourth quarter like he has been last year. For whatever reason, he's not doing that. So, I mean, if he wants to be the man getting paid, he has to contribute consistently, and he's not.
Thank you, Jeff. I think injury has something to do with it. We think that, but that's a fair comment. And like Coach Brown says, we expect a lot from these guys.
Sure.
Fair or foul, I don't know. But that's what they're expected to do. So when De'Aaron comes up short last night, and the turnovers were bad too, I think that's fair criticism. It's like he didn't do for them last night what they need him to do to win. It happens. It happened last night.
Yeah, the other thing too, and I don't want to, you know, like I'm defending De'Aaron, but I guess I am. I mean, De'Aaron had a fantastic first half of the NBA season. Like everybody
yes.
thought he was an all-star and – so it's not like he hasn't played well this season. I think as of late, you know, there's been a few different things that he hasn't accomplished. And I think you spoke to it. You know, there is something that we know is
yeah.
nagging De'Aaron one way or another physically. And that's not the biggest excuse, but I do think, you know, let's make sure we keep it a buck here on the drive, guys. De'Aaron has played very well this season in
yeah.
many different spurts.
In all fairness, I don't think
yeah.
Jeff said he's bad this
no,
year.
No,
he just said he's not as good as last year,
yeah.
which is fair. And that's
for
to
sure.
that argument when people say they're better this year than last year. Well, who's better this year than they were last year? Yeah, maybe
right.
Domas, and
yeah.
that's about it. So
maybe
yeah.
Malik. Like, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, Malik
good
should
point.
Win Sixth Man of the Year for sure this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year he was in the running, but I think right now he's in the lead.
JR is in the running for Caller of the Year. Let's see how he handles the pressure now. What's up, JR?
One word, flabbergasting. That's the game. That's the word to describe this team this year.
I think so. You're right.
Do you remember it?
Yes.
Do you remember that? We used that with Carl?
Yes.
That was,
yes.
Jay probably doesn't remember. He came on that one time. He goes, explain the game today. And he goes, it was flabbergasting. I'm
it
waiting
George
for Coach
Carl.
Brown to
yeah.
say, yeah, I'm
yeah.
waiting for Brown to drop that one. It will take like people 10 minutes to figure out. Wait, Google flabbergasting. What does that actually mean?
JR, you're an optimist. Tell me why the Kings are going to beat the Lakers tomorrow.
Oh, just because we burnt their jersey back in 2002.
Okay.
That's why. No, but we match up good with them. You know, I do think that's funny because last year when we had to play the Warriors, all my Laker fans were saying, "Yeah, we would have beaten you too." And I'm like, I don't know. You could beat the Warriors. Warriors could beat us, and I think we could beat the Lakers. So we do match up well. And I, you know, you're going to get LeBron's numbers. He's going to get his stuff. You know, the eyebrow will probably injure his eyebrow in the third quarter or something. But I think they do beat him. I think they come back with a little bit more. We're going to close this out and finish this off like we should. You know, I coach, you know how I coach youth basketball, and 18 points in the fourth quarter, 18 points. Mm-hmm. If you're an NBA team, you don't score at least 20. That's an issue. I don't even know how that's possible. It's 10 buckets.
Well, how about this coach, Malik Monk, who was dominant Friday in Minnesota in the fourth quarter in overtime. Last night he played the whole fourth quarter and he only took one shot. What's that? What is that?
That's Kentucky basketball. That's what that's fucking is. I tell you right now. I don't know. And then they were going so well in the third quarter. What they end up, I know they went up by 20, but I think they were by 18 going into the fourth. And I'm like, okay, consistently move that ball around, get the inside movement, and they just stop doing it.
Yep. Yep.
And I was like, what am I watching? And then I left. I came back because I wanted to go out and throw up. And then all of a sudden they're down by two, and that inbounds pass still. I mean, when you let Caruso defend like that on an inbounds play, I mean, what was his favorite thing? Pirates of the Caribbean? You know, Captain Caruso? That's about all he has.
Huh.
Put on that. But gotcha. Anyway, that was a reach there. Yeah. Great show. Jay, way to keep it real. And, hey, Jerry Reynolds, always the bomb, right?
Yes.
Eighth grade girl. He's going after an eighth. There's no good-looking girls in French Lick. Come on. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Man, that's messed up to the French Lick young ladies. That is like almost, you know, Charles Barkley San Antonio realm there.
Yeah, that was necessary. Cold but blood, I'd forgot about that. It was years ago when George Karl was a coach here, and he asked him about a game, and he said, flabbergasting.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect description.
It is.
Of so much of this year. AJ, Sacktown Sports. Hello, AJ.
Hey, I want to say, Kings just aren't that good. Can we say that? I mean, look.
Compared to what?
Are.
When you say not that good, what do you mean compared to what or who or what are we talking about exactly?
The history of the Kings, right?
Okay.
We haven't made a playoffs in such a long time. Yeah. I still feel like we're building a team, you know?
Uh-huh.
And actually, we made a playoff. I know Fox played over his head. Harrison played over his head. Herter played over his head. The rookie did really well. And this year, they're not because last year was special, but I don't think we're that good. I think we're in an average NBA team, and I think everybody is on a high horse from last year thinking we're last year's team. We're not. We excelled last year. Mm-hmm. We are not that good of a team. We're an average team. Now, I was in the Bay Area today listening to their radio station today, mm-hmm. and they were talking about some of our players. And literally, they had zero respect. I just think we're an average team, and next year and the year after that, we're going to have to pick up pieces to be a sustainable team. I mean, we didn't make the playoffs for how many years, and we just made the playoffs?
Right.
I mean, real quick, too fast, and I remember going to old Arco Arena just saying, I hope it's a competitive game.
Right.
I hope it's a competitive game, and enjoyed the atmosphere and so on. But now I think just us Kings fans are way spoiled. Mm-hmm. We're expecting too much, and we're not that good.
Thank you.
We're good, but not what you guys think.
Thank you, AJ. I understand your point, but to me, I mean, can Kings fans be spoiled after 1 year?
Nah, man. You ain't too spoiled. Nah.
There's a promise when a team finally breaks through after years and years and years and years and years of trying, AJ, and it sounds like you know this as well as we do because you were there for it. Team breaks through, there's an implied promise that, all right, here we are, we're back. And so I think fans this year wanted to see more of what we got last year.
Yeah.
And there's been some troubling inconsistencies. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But it's very troubling. I think it's fair to say, hey, what is that? Like last night, it's fair. It's like, even if the Kings were not a good team, even if they're below average, which they're not, but let's say they were a bad team and they blew a 22-point lead like last night, you'd say, man, that was bad, right? Mm-hmm. Even if they're a bad team. So a team that's fighting for a playoff spot to do that, you got to point at that and go, hey, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not being spoiled or having outsized expectations.
No. I mean, and I think, you know, minus probably a handful, the expectations of this team you know, I didn't hear not one soul come into the season expecting them to hoist a, you know, a trophy. Mm-hmm. Unless it was the in-season tournament trophy, you know, so.
Yeah. Ooh, the Lakers have that,
don't get me started on that, man. But I don't think, you know, spoiled is the proper word, and I know we've been looking for certain words to describe this team so far today. I think what's wrong with wanting more, you know, and I think that's not a bad thing. I do think, though, the fact of, I guess the yearning and, you know, you wanting this to be habitual has definitely caused, you know, for some frustration, you know, and which is something we continue to keep on talking about today, Whitey. It's like, you know, through every call and text and YouTube and comment and everything we've gotten, the frustration, no matter which side of the fence you lay on, is definitely shown because of the game that we had last, you know, we witnessed last night, man.
Yeah, I think the bottom line of what it was, it AG saying, and AG, Brendan said the same thing. It's like, and a couple other callers have referenced it. They're saying expectations are outsized just because you got to realize they are in the process of building something, and it's going to take some time. So I get that. As long, it's just that that's the frustrating thing about that is, you, for whatever reason, you haven't really done anything this year to add.
Yeah.
Like Jerry said, they probably thought Vezhenkov was really going to be impactful this year, and he hasn't.
And I'm pretty sure
it was a bad idea. It's just, there we are.
Yeah, they expected the Keegan Murray to take probably a higher leap, you know, an all-around higher leap. But the other part of that, too, though, Whitey, is, and this is the one thing I always try to keep in perspective for myself, is this. Last year was, man, you know, for lack of a better word, magical. It really was a magical run for the Kings. And to see the way it gripped this city and the support and, you know, the want from everybody for the Kings to, you know, do fantastic last year, which they did. This year, to follow that up, for me, was always going to be a letdown. Mm-hmm. Because, again, there's always only one first impression. How many times have we heard that in our life? There's only one first impression. And the second one is normally doesn't hold up to the first. And so I think that mixed in with the way they've played has definitely allowed some, you know, frustration to creep through for some of the Kings fans. And albeit, that's okay.
Yeah. That hinges largely on where this season ends up, but we don't have to worry about that now because tomorrow is Beat LA Day. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Kyle Draper will be back with us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jay. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Sacktown Sports.